Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I am Mike Shaver, joined by Brian Christopherson, Michael Bruntz. And we are here to tell you fall camp is over. It is dead. We have moved on. The football season is about to begin. Bruntz is making a concerned face. We'll start with him. You have concern over that?
I was going through my as we're recording this, the alliance is just being announced, and I was trying to think in my head of some of my favorite alliances that have been
formed. Wrestling factions, basically.
Yeah, and I was
looking up the mega powers.
I was obviously the NWO was an obvious one, but I was looking at there's that like GIF that's kind of the awkward handshake between Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah,
that's essentially how I was imagining it going.
Well, and that obviously leads to which commissioner is who, and that who's Miss Elizabeth, who's Macho Man, and who's Hulk Hogan.
I don't know. Is Kevin Warren Miss Elizabeth? I don't really have any strong feelings about either the Pac-12's commissioner or the ACC's commissioner.
Yeah, I have no opinion on either, and I couldn't pick out either out of a lineup. So
Jim Phillips is formerly Northwestern's AD. That's the extent of my.
But I mean, he would just look like generic old guy with hair. So I mean, right?
I think I did that one time. I had a bit where. I believe it was when Nebraska was looking for an athletic director. And
times in your coverage?
The many times, yes. I went and found a stock photo of a upper management person and started tweeting out whether or not those guys were real athletic director possibilities or not. It's all the same.
Now that we have do you have other thoughts on the alliance? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, there's no contract. They have not agreed on any kind of scheduling thing. And it feels very much like when you're sitting around with your buddies or like you're trying to plan the weekend, but you're really non-committal about what you're actually going to do. That's kind of what the alliance feels like.
Yeah. It feels like someone threw out the idea for a road trip and everyone's like, yeah, that's interesting. But then no one wants to actually look up and book the hotel or all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like you're just going to drive until you get tired, and then you're going to get a hotel there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe they'll get tired in Louisville or in Pullman, Washington, Utah, Blacksburg, all those locations. Those are possibilities for future road trips.
The sun is never going to set on the Alliance. It's like the old British Empire.
Wow. Look at that. BC, you've been very quiet. Do you have thoughts on the Alliance?
Not a lot of thoughts. No. I'm so stuck, and this could segue, I guess. I'm like so like into Nebraska's situation at this point that I don't have a good feel for it, all this other noise. I don't have enough room in this little brain for like alliance talk and like kind of figuring out, you know, Nebraska, Illinois. I'm a one track guy, you know.
Trev's making videos, so it's a big deal for Nebraska, is my understanding.
Yeah, I saw the video.
I still haven't gotten used to the fact that the leading individual in Nebraska's athletic department goes by the name Trev. For some reason, I just can't square this up. It catches me by surprise every time. I mean, I'll get over it at some point, but it doesn't feel like that's the sort of thing that happens.
Cam Taylor Britt was kind of figuring out who he was the other day. He said, I got a black shirt. I think it was from Trev. So, yeah, he still got to introduce himself to some people over there, apparently.
Luke Reimer was trying to come up with the name Danny Noonan today at the press conference.
And, were you just screaming Noonan at him?
Well, it was kind of like, he was like, I don't know his name. I think it was Danny. And it was like, Noonan? And I was like, perfect. Anyways, we've got real football to talk about, guys.
Yeah,
not just wrestling and Danny Noonan.
Let's try to get this on track. So what questions got answered this fall camp? We'll start with that side of it. what do you feel like you know more about Brunson than you did maybe coming into the month?
I mean, it feels like to me, it feels like the excitement around the position players that they have around Adrian Martinez feels legit. I mean, I guess that's something that I've taken away from the coaching staff. We'll see. I mean, that's kind of where I've been at. I've been at all through fall camp is it just very much feels like I'm just very much in need to see it. That's where I'm at. And I think that Nebraska will be better at the skill positions around Adrian Martinez. How much better, I don't know. We'll see. But I think that they feel confident in what they're going to roll out there on Saturday against Illinois from the wide receiver spot. They feel like they've got some running backs that can put them in good spots, which maybe they haven't had the last few years. So I think I take that at their word that they're better there. I continue to think though that this is going to be a defense that can buy this offense some time to gel and coalesce and everything else. So I guess I don't know. I mean, I think it's I haven't wavered in my season prediction for Nebraska. I think, you know, I think they have a chance to be a good team, but it's the same questions about, you know, whether Nebraska can kind of stay out of its own way.
BC, what questions do you still have now that camp has ended and we're in a game week?
I don't know for sure who the top running back's going to be when it's all said and done. And I'm not just talking about week one. I'm talking about when we're like in week seven, like who that guy really is. I like what they seem to have, but I'm like Bruns. I think Bruns hit where most people are at. My takeaway from fall camp is Nebraska inside their walls. It's legit belief. Like I believe they believe, you know, like I think they really, I believe they believe. And I think they think they're pretty good. I think it's not just the August talk. I think they think they're going to surprise some people and prove people wrong. And I think the rest of us are like, yeah, but we have trust issues. And you can understand why we have trust issues, right? And so that's where it is. It's a team that I think that's not just like what you're supposed to say on August 10th stuff that we've heard. I think they actually think they've got a pretty good football team. They're better in the trenches. They're better at the skill spots. And now they have to show it. And they, I think they understand that a lot of people, even in the own fan base, are like, yeah, show us multiple times before I jump totally on that train.
Here's something I believe that we don't have empirical evidence on yet. I believe in that wide receiver group quite a bit. I think that, one, Samari Toure, I've enjoyed the conversations with him. He spoke in the hallway on Monday. That's a guy who feels very comfortable in what his role is going to be as a slot receiver at Nebraska, which is really kind of interesting because he wasn't bad at Montana. He played a different role at Montana. He was used more as a deep threat. He was able to get behind defenses a little bit. Here it feels like he's facing up against defenses. He's going to be sitting in the middle of coverages. They're using him closer to the line of scrimmage in some ways. And I'm really curious how that all works out because I think Samari Toure can really help Nebraska alleviate some of the pressure of having to replace Wandell Robinson. And then I've always been high on Xavier Betts, and it seems like he had a great summer and a great fall camp, and so I want to see what he looks like. I do believe that Omar Manning will be traveling on Saturday and will be playing with his team. I don't know that he's going to have a huge effect, but he's a guy that could certainly help in the red zone. And I really like Oliver Martin. I think Oliver Martin might be the best wide receiver on this team by the time it's all said and done. It wouldn't shock me if he led them in receptions and yards. I think he has that kind of potential, and I think he has big play potential too. And you know, you go even further beyond those guys. We've heard a lot about Wyatt Lever this fall camp, and we know they like Will Nixon. I think Alante Brown is going to be someone that later in the season we hear a little bit more from. You still have Levi Falk. And then, of course, those freshman wide receivers. So there's a heavy group of those guys that I think are going to help out. And that says nothing of the tight end position that's going to be really involved in that passing offense. So I strongly feel that Nebraska has corrected the wide receiver issues that have sort of plagued them each of the last two seasons.
Wouldn't you love to see them early on try to take the top off the defense. Yep. I mean, even if it fails, just like, you know, throw one down the field 50 yards and show that you can do it. I don't care if that ball's 8 yards over somebody's head. Like, you know, I'll be like, all right, they took a shot. They just have to at least respect it.
Of a play action with one of the running backs, and then Adrian comes out of it and just unloads, and there's Oliver Martin streaking down the sidelines, and, you know, whether it's caught or not, I don't know. But that's just kind of – I think that's going to be there. I think they have some real athletes at wide receiver, and, you know, Adrian, who really boosted his completion percentage last year by staying a little closer to home, he's going to have to prove that he can hit some of those throws to open things up. And that's going to be important, but I think he's going to have easier versions of those throws to make. And I think that's going to be helpful too. Where are you at with the wide receivers in this passing offense, Bruns?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the group that has the most potential that they've had since Scott Frost has been in Nebraska. I mean, you take Stanley Morgan out of the conversation. I'm trying to JD Spielman. I mean, beyond that, I don't know that there has been that many guys at the wide receiver spot in the last 3-4 years that you're like, okay, this is somebody that opposing defenses are really going to have to worry about. And Nebraska is going to look a lot different at wide receiver from a physical standpoint. I mean, everybody's 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", aside from Will Nixon. And, you know, that vision, I mean, is going to allow you to go down the field a little bit more. It's hopefully going to win you more of those 50-50 balls or go up and get a catch in traffic. So I like the look of things. I think that Samori Toure is going to have a huge season, you know, especially if he can stay healthy. And if they're going to use him in the slot, that's a tough matchup, I think, for a lot of guys in that spot to defend. So I like the group. You know, if Adrian Martinez can complete the percentage of passes that, you know, he did towards the end of last season to that group, I think you can definitely win some games with that. It's just a matter of if they can get down the field a little bit more with consistency, because the last couple of years, it just felt so forced. And I think that's also where you saw bad decision-making and, you know, passes being put in spots they shouldn't be.
You guys, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but these are usually buzz topics. Do you have any thoughts on Nebraska's newest captains or the black shirts that were handed out on Monday? BC?
Yeah, I was a little surprised with some of this stuff. I guess Damian Daniels, who I think has had a great offseason, I think anyone who frequents our site knows that we've written a lot about how he's changed his body and just like the good frame of mind he's in. So it's not a shock that he's like on the rise over there in people's eyes, but I didn't think he was going to be the fourth captain. I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, Stilly or somebody like that. And I think it's kind of cool that there was a curveball there, maybe a little bit. And a guy's hard work was rewarded. He's been in this program 5 years. I think he's done a nice job besides his body transformation, adjusting to a new group of dudes who are his brothers now. Like, and by that, I mean like Ty Robinson and Casey Rogers, those kind of guys were a couple years younger than him. And he sort of came in with that, the Davis twins crowd and DeAndre Thomas, and they've done a good job sort of melding together now with this new unit. And he's kind of become a leader in that regard. So I thought that was exciting. And while we're on the D line, DeAndre Thomas earning a black shirt, Casey Rogers doesn't have one yet. I didn't see that coming necessarily, but that tells you that, you know, DeAndre is probably going to play a whole lot, you know, as a guy in the rotation. I think they're going to have six guys that they rotate sort of hockey line style at times on Saturday, especially on a day where it's going to be 90 some degrees.
Yeah. I don't know that there was anybody that was a huge surprise for me. I guess I was a little surprised at the low number, I guess. I mean, they didn't give one to that second cornerback, because that sounds like that battle is still ongoing. You know, I know some people were a little bit surprised by the inclusion of Caleb Tanner, but he had gotten one last year too. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's always interesting how many they actually hand out, because, you know, we've seen some years where the number is insanely high, some where it's just right at 11. But I didn't really have any qualms with anybody that got one or didn't. I was the other guy that I was maybe wondering a little bit about was at the inside backer spot. I think you're going to see a pretty even workload between Henrik, Reimer, and Chris Kolarovic. And Kolarovic didn't get one. The other two did. But I don't know that that necessarily is going to be indicative of a significant, significant reduction in playing time for Kolarovic. I think they're going to need all three of those guys this season. But that was maybe the only one where I was like a little surprised that he didn't get one too. But that's about as much as I could muster for Blackshirt's takes.
You mustered quite a bit. We appreciate it. Thanks for mustering up there. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to switch things up. We all got some statistics that we're going to throw out there, and we're going to figure out who is going to lead Nebraska in those categories. They will probably be normal statistics and not like very random off the wall ones, but I can't speak for my colleagues. So we'll see what they want to do. So stick around for that and more here on the Husker 24/7 podcast.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back. Promised a little stat talk. BC, you brainchild this idea, so let's give it to you to start with. What statistic do you want to throw out there? And we will all pick which Husker we think will lead Nebraska in that particular one.
Okay, top three individual leading rushers for Nebraska, and what's the number on the top guy? And who?
Wow. Okay. Going hard to start with. Okay. I'm going to go Marquise Stepp leads Nebraska in rushing with 860 yards. I'm going to put Savion Morrison second, and I'm going to put Gabe Irvin third. I don't have yardage totals for him, but those are my answers.
Okay.
I'll go Stepp to lead, Gabe Irvin second, Morrison third. And I think the leading guy will have 947 yards.
Okay. I was going to pick somebody else, but I think Stepp's going to lead the way. And this is why. I think Irvin and Morrison, for some reason, I feel like they might cancel each other out a little bit in a good way. Like they're going to both be useful, but I could see their numbers sort of colliding into one another. So I will say Stepp with 907 yards leads the way. And then I'll go Savion Morrison and Adrian Martinez third. I think Adrian's going to have – and Gabe will be right around where Adrian is. So it's sort of that the four horsemen. We could call them the four horsemen. That's never been used in football before. That could be like a nickname that we give to those guys if they perform at a high level.
I'll use this as my stat for my turn, but it relates to BC's. What percentage of Nebraska's rushing total do you think that Adrian Martinez accounts for this year?
Percentage of the pie?
Yeah. What's his piece of the workload.
What was it last year? Do you know?
65%. No, quarterbacks were 65%.
Yeah, he had 521 net last year, which led the way. Mills had about 400, and then Wandale was at 240. McCaffrey was at 364.
Percentage of the pie. That's hard. Okay, like 30%, Adrian? That might be too high. I think it is.
I don't think that's too high. I would probably bump yours a little bit and say 35% Adrian, 65% everyone else. He's going to run the ball. I mean, until they just choose not to run him, he's going to run the ball. And he's going to have scrambles. It may not always be design runs, but they're going to use him a fair amount. I really do think he's going to be a large chunk of it. And I hope I'm wrong, because I think Nebraska's better if they don't use him that way.
I think it's going to be between like 550 and 600. So whatever that adds up to percentage-wise of the rushing total, that's sort of where I think he's going to fall. Because, I mean, Bruns mentioned the number, and that was in an eight-game season.
He only played seven games, too.
Yeah, and the one was barely at all. So I do think I still think on Saturday, for example, I think he's going to carry the ball like 16 times. I do. I think he'll end up, and some of those will be where he escapes the pocket four or five times, and some will be on third and goal from the 2 yard line, you know, where they maybe try that to run him. And that's been an effective play. So I understand why Nebraska wants to go to it, but I would love it. I would love it if on third down and two and stuff like that, you see a Nebraska team that is competent and confident in handing the ball to the tailback, and here's 4 yards, move the sticks, and as opposed to running Adrian through the wall, you know, and beating him up all season long. There's a place for it, but I hope they can spread that out.
You would hope that a bigger chunk of his rushes are the kind where, you know, nobody's open and he bleeds out and gets 5 or 6 yards versus snap the ball to him, read, and then running right into the teeth of the defense. I mean, yeah. How that picture looks is that, I mean, the thing is too, is if you're trying to push the ball down the field more, maybe that frees you up to have a few more chances for him to sneak out and get some yardage that way. The number I kind of had in my head was kind of where you guys are at with 30 to 35, somewhere in there. But I do think it's still going to continue to be a good chunk of what Nebraska does on the ground. It's just a matter of whether that's designed or if it's him making a play with his feet when something breaks down.
So I was using BC's numbers of 600 yards, which I think is a little low. I think we'll have a little more than that, but If Nebraska runs for like 2,200 yards as a team, that's like 28%.
Okay.
For like 2,400 yards as a team, that's 25%. So we might be a little high, but I think Adrian's going to have more than 600 across the total of 12 games. I also think, and this is, I'm toying with the idea of just doing a bold column where it's just all predictions. If you guys want in on that, we could probably have some fun with it. I'm just going to throw this out there. I think Adrian plays all 12 games this year. He hasn't done it at any point in his Nebraska career. I think it would be good, certainly, for the team if he's available for all 12 of those games. That is the Mike Shaver bold prediction that no one asked for on this podcast.
You should save that for the hype cast.
Those are individual games. We should add a hype cast for the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just us yelling loudly about things that probably won't happen.
Go ahead, BC, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, the one thing about Adrian Martinez and how much he runs it that I will say is it's always easy in the off season to say, well, that number needs to come down. And I say it a lot. You know, it's like, well, they need to take some hits off him. That is much easier to say than when you're in the heat of battle and, you know, you're like, who can go get me 2 yards right now? And he's a great runner. He is, and I think he's going to be a better runner than we've seen the last year or two. I think he is leaned down, and you guys remember his first carry for a touchdown against Colorado when he made that move on the dude and he took off for like a 45-yard run. And I was like, okay, he's got more of a burst than I thought. And a little bit of that disappeared over the last couple of years. He was still a good runner, but you didn't quite see that burst. That's what these guys are talking about when they say that's back. We see that again. So let's see. I mean, we'll see if that's real, but that's that. I know what they're talking about when they bring that subject up, because we saw it his first year.
All right, we on to the next stat.
It's your turn.
I am going to move us to the defensive side of the ball. Who leads the Nebraska Cornhuskers in sacks in 2021?
I'll go Garrett Nelson. I think the numbers are going to be really close again. I don't think that there's going to be one guy that's just going to DeMario Williams the thing and just blow it out of the water. But I think it will be Garrett Nelson. I think he's ready for it. I think that he will have, I'll say, 6 sacks this year. And I think there's going to be a couple guys that are right behind him with like 4.5 or 5. And I'm sure you guys are going to name people who I think will be right behind him. So I'll give you guys the floor.
Go ahead, Schaefer.
I like Garrett Nelson for this one as well, but I'm going to go with a different linebacker, even though he's an inside guy. They used him on blitzes well last year. I think Luke Reimer will lead Nebraska in sacks. He's fast. I think you can use him in good blitzes. I'm actually like very excited for Eric Shenander's defense this year, because I think he can do some different stuff and line some different guys up. And I think they're going to be a little bit more exotic in their 3-4 and confuse some people. So I'll go Luke Reimer, and I will say he does it at a 6.5 sack clip.
That's a good pick. Both of those are good picks. I think Reimer's a TFL leader if we get to that one. But I'll say for sacks, I'll say Ben Stille. He's done it before. He's kind of had a reduction in his sack total of late. But I think he's got – you know, Eric Shenander, you listen closely to him at the end of last year, and I like when those guys say stuff because they're watching things – they're seeing things that we're not seeing, you know, when they watch it back. And he thought Stille was playing at a really high level at the end of last year. And I maybe wasn't noticing it as much, but I'm going to say that he picks up where he left off. He's obviously wants to not only have a great season, but campaign for a pro future. I'll say 6.5 sacks, Ben Stille.
My guys behind him, and you guys did not mention, I think Fildarius Payne is going to be in the conversation a little bit. Stille was the other one. I feel like there's going to be those kinds of sacks where, you know, guy gets bottled up in the pocket a little bit, bounces around, and Stille kind of finishes the playoff. That's how I see a lot of his sacks coming.
I think that one of the things about Ben Stille that I thought was most interesting is when Nebraska would move him to almost a nose tackle or a defensive tackle look, they'd bring Garrett Nelson down. It reminded me, and you know, he just recently re-signed with the Minnesota Vikings, but it reminded me of Mike Zimmer using Everson Griffin as a defensive tackle against the New Orleans Saints and beating them in a playoff game, which is probably the last good highlight that Vikings fans have enjoyed.
Nobody brought up Ty Robinson, and I don't think he is going to lead the way, but it's interesting in a few conversations of late from Tuioti and Shenander. Basically, their summary of his season last year is he was always there. Like, he was putting himself in position. He didn't finish, though. Like, not enough to his liking or their liking. And so if Ty Robinson cleans up his plate a little bit more this year, he could make a run at it out of the nowhere, you know, coming from
– he's a real breakout candidate, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
He's one of those guys like it. Would any of us be shocked if at the end of the season we're doing a recap podcast and Ty Robinson's the best defensive lineman on the team?
That was he was the subject of the train whistle I used last season, if you remember that.
I don't, but it sounds wonderful.
Bring it back.
We've been loading that train up for a while, guys. It's ready to pull out of the station.
We have a lot of weird bits that don't survive beyond the 6 minutes in which they get discussed, but then whoever remembers them can bring joy to the other people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need more statistics as we come back through. We're doing this one more time.
One last time through. Is it BC? Me? BC?
Okay, we'll just go simple. We'll go receiving yards. How about the top two? Like, who's the top two in receiving yards? And what's the top end number?
I am going to go with one Oliver Martin for 912 yards to lead Nebraska. And then Samari Toure right behind him at 777 yards. Those are my answers. I'm all in on Oliver Martin. All in.
I think that's a good place to be. I think he's going to have a good season based on very small sample size last year when he was basically had no idea about Nebraska's offense. I will go with – I think Toure is going to lead Nebraska. I think he's going to get – I'll say 850, 853, just to account for him leaning forward and getting a couple more yards at the end of a play.
I think he's going to lead the West Championship.
Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think second, I will go with Xavier Betts with nice. Oliver Martin closely behind him. So that's my thought. I think they're going to spread it around quite a bit to the wide receivers. I don't think there's going to be it's not a Stanley Morgan situation.
That'd be great if Betts was second. Just cause I think he's got so much talent, and if, you know, and you know, a local kid doing well, I don't know if that matters to local recruiting or not, but it can't hurt, you know, if a Bellevue West guy is lighting it up suddenly in the fall. I'll say Toure leads the way. Just over 906 yards. Your Betts pick kind of has me thinking that. I'm going to say Oliver Martin, number two. But I thought it was interesting. Wyatt Lever the other day was giving some sort of factoids about the receiver during camp, and they were interesting. And he said Betts has been running past people all camp. And take it for what it is. But I don't know. That of all the things he said, that jumped out to me. And you hear Matt Lubick say, there's some days when Xavier Betts looks like the best receiver on the roster, no doubt. Not all the time, but some days. So if that starts to happen more consistently, you could be right, Bruns.
I think he is Nebraska's best big play threat at wide receiver. And that's, I mean, talking yardage, that's why I think he's going to be up there a little bit. Because I think, you know, you hit a couple deep ones during the course of a season, that makes that number look a little bit different. I think Oliver Martin's probably going to, if you're talking catches, I think probably Toure and I think Oliver Martin are going to be right there, 1-2. But I think Betts, when you're talking about a guy that can get vertical or can make that kind of jet sweep motion work, I think it's him. And if they can figure out plays that feature him that he's comfortable with, I think that's where you're going to see that big step taken.
All right. We need another statistic.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me see what we got here.
Brunch in the chat.
I guess this is kind of a different, we'll go special teams on this one. Who do you guys think leads Nebraska in kickoff return yardage?
A tough question because I don't know who is even really in the mix to return. And they were pretty bad at it last year.
That's maybe a bad question. I'll shift it a little bit. How many games this season do you guys think Nebraska wins field position battle?
Five. I'd like to say more, but they are a little turnover prone. I don't know that it precludes them from winning games if they lose the turnover or the field position battle. We've seen them do it in the past, but I think they're at least close to half the time. I like this defense. I mean, I'm optimistic about this team. I think they have a higher upside than where the 6-6 and 7-5 predictions come in at. But they still have enough bugaboos in them that I'm not fully committed to it. So I'm going to go five.
Yeah, I would say half. I mean, six games. And the reason I think it'll climb a little bit from the pass is because of the defense. I think they should get more three and outs. There should be situations where the other team's punting from their deep in their own end. And those are the moments I really want to see this team capitalize on. It feels like if I were to summarize Nebraska football sometimes in this field position discussion, there'd been moments even where they've pinned a team deep and there's a chance for the defense to get a three and out, make the other team punt from their own end zone. And it just doesn't seem to happen. I feel like this defense I'm bullish on them. And so I'm going to ride with them and say, they're going to get that done more this year. And that's going to help that cause.
Yeah, I think probably splitting the season is right. I mean, to me, that question is much more about whether or not Nebraska can figure out the kicking issues. And it comes down to coverage and also on kickoffs and punts, the guys back there making the decisions have to make better decisions. Like that to me has been one of the biggest things that they've struggled with, is it always just looks like such a circus when you're trying to field a kick and know when to go or not. I when you asked if there's anything that I feel differently about, you know, at the end of fall camp than I did at the start of fall camp, I think the big one is I legitimately believe that Nebraska has emphasized special teams more than they have at any point during Scott Frost's tenure at Nebraska. Will that translate? We'll see. I think some of it's personnel based, but you know, I do think that they're going to be better in that group. So I would say half, because I was just looking at the numbers. I don't know that Nebraska won the field position battle anywhere close to that last year or the year before that.
No, I mean, they definitely didn't. They didn't. They've been very bad at that for several seasons now. Okay. I don't have anything more to add on special teams or the field position. Anybody else, or do we want to jump to our final stat here? Or does BC have one left? I thought he gave two.
I gave two. I've filled mine up.
All right. Let's just go with the very simple. We don't want to make it too hard. I thought about going with who has the most plays on offense over 40 yards this season, but that felt like that'd be relatively difficult. So we're going to move off of that, and we'll just go with an easy one. Who leads Nebraska in touchdown receptions in 2021? Nebraska, I think, has only thrown like a total of 12 touchdowns in the last, two seasons? It's some pathetically bad number. So it's not going to be as high, or it hasn't been as high as you would think. But with this wide receiver core, you would assume that it's going to get better.
I'll say Austin Allen, and I think he only has one touchdown. But
Minnesota last year, that was the one.
Yeah, we have a picture of him jumping in the air, and he's like so like – happy and stunned probably at the same time. But I mean, he should be a guy that you utilize a lot in the red zone. And I know that Sean Becton has been heavily involved with Matt Lubick and sort of diagnosing what they can do better down there. And they've looked at a lot of film of what teams do. And I think there's going to be an emphasis on getting those big tight ends a chance to box people out in the end zone. And I think there's going to be some of those like pop pass type plays too, where, you know, you fake it to your back and you hit Allen on a 14 yard touchdown across the middle. I could see one of those plays Saturday. And also, if he keeps his feet better, he might've had another couple the last year. And Becton's talked about that too. He's had some opportunities where he's just lost his feet. And if he can stay on his feet a little bit more, that number goes up.
It's an interesting question, because are we assuming that the bulk of the touchdowns are coming from outside the red zone or in the red zone? And I guess I would probably lean more towards like a Samori Toure, I guess, leading them in touchdown catches versus Austin Allen. Just like, because I get the sense that Nebraska, especially if they dedicate themselves to the running game and they feel like they can run the ball, I feel like they're just going to put their heads down and just try and bully their way into the end zone. if they get in the red zone. So I'm going to go with Torre to lead them in touchdowns, some short ones, but I think he's going to be the guy.
I am, I don't know where to go with this one. I think that Allen and Toure make a lot of sense. I want to believe that they will find ways to get the ball to Travis Vokolek when he's healthy, and Austin Allen because of their size. Same with Toure and Xavier Betts and guys of that nature, even Omar Manning. I think that's where he could be helpful. I think the safest, easiest, cheapest answer, even though he only has career touchdown of one, I do think Austin Allen can have a nice year in the red zone. I think he could be a good weapon. And I think if Marquise Stepp is as good inside the red zone as what people claim, you have a lot of play action potential to tight ends there. So give me Austin Allen.
Big year for 6'9" Austin Allen.
All right.
Sounds like Bronx is an Austin Allen hater from his answer, though.
Hey, don't turn this on me. Just because Jack Stoll's gone, don't pin this on me.
I have a bit of a hunch. And notice how well Jack Stoll played when he got away from BC out there in Philly. You know, he's just turning it on. But I have a hunch that Brunson's going to turn around and use Austin Allen in the hype cast now that BC said that.
Yeah, I need to defend Austin Allen's honor from this slander.
Yeah.
Well, tight end slander, what this show does best.
Also, just to wrap up and go back, I found how many times Nebraska won the starting field position battle last season. Would you like to know?
Seven out of eight.
you have any guesses for how many times they won it?
Two out of eight.
They won it two times. Penn State and Purdue. Mm. They actually, the worst day for average starting field position was the Rutgers game, so make of that what you will.
And their special teams was good against Penn State. They had good directional kicking that day. And Purdue didn't – they blocked a punt right off the bat, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Two of their wins.
There you go.
Shocking. Shocking correlation. All right. Let's wrap this up. The Hypecast will be back on Friday. Kevin Suits from 1011 will be joining us. We'll be diving into some thoughts on Nebraska and Illinois. As always, plenty of coverage at Husker 24/7. I am ramping up some high school coverage a little bit. Going to throw out some stuff from in-state players here in Nebraska, as well as it's the start of high school players playing pretty much throughout the country. So most of Nebraska's guys will be in action as well. And, of course, with the game rolling up, we've got plenty of coverage leading up to that. Another media availability here on Tuesday today, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of stuff coming out of that as well. All right, let's close this thing out, and we'll talk to everybody with the Hypecast. See you then.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.